Voice of Indonesia.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is Ania Sana with the news. First, the headlines. Support from the Indonesian military in disaster areas establishes social stability. Indonesian government focuses on increasing manufactured products export. And now the news in detail. The support of the Indonesian military TNI for the disaster mitigation in Indonesia aims to establish social stability in the areas affected by the disaster. This was stated in a written statement of Commander-in-Chief of the Indonesian military, Marshal Hadi Cahyanto, delivered by Vice Admiral of the Indonesian National Army, Didit Herdiawan before 4,000 participants of the National Coordination Meeting of the National and Regional Disaster Mitigation Agencies, BNPB and BPBD, throughout Indonesia under the theme, If We Take the Nature, Nature Will take care of Us, in Surabaya, Java recently. Based on the press release received by National Radio News Agency on Monday, Chief of the Indonesian Military explained that in achieving the objective, the Indonesian military would contribute to establishing security for the refugees and victims in the affected areas by disaster, rehabilitating the areas affected by the disaster, and building coordination between society and the international military in managing the impacts of natural disaster and humanity crisis. The Indonesian government keeps boosting the performance of export-oriented manufacturing industry to improve the current structure of the national economy, considering manufactured products have provided enormous contributions for the national export. As quoted by Antara, Indonesian Industry Minister Erlangga Hartarto, in his press statement said that manufacturing industry has the capability to contribute 74% of the export value. In addition to improving the performance of export, manufacturing industry has also contributed 20% of the gross domestic products and 30% of the tax income. From these achievements, manufacturing industry has pivotal role in expanding investment and export so that the industry can be the mainstay sector of Indonesia to support the national economic growth. Therefore, the government is committed to revitalizing domestic manufacturing industry by implementing the Making Indonesia 4.0 roadmap so that Indonesia would be ready to face the 4.0 industrial revolution. A member of the Indonesian People's Consultative Assembly, MPR, Daryat Muhammadianto, called on Indonesian people to learn and implement the values reflected in the nation of four pillars, namely Pancasila, or the five principles of the Indonesian nation, Bhinneka Tunggal Ika, or the principle of unity and diversity, the 1945 Constitution, and the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia in their daily lives. In a bid to instill the value of Indonesian four pillars, the government is attempting to disseminate about the four pillars so that Indonesian people will always remember the importance of their state ideologies. The appeal was delivered by Daryat Muhammadianto at the socialization of the MPR's four pillars held on Sunday at Wanu Village, Demak Regency, Central Java, as quoted by Antara News Agency. Daryatmo hoped that Indonesian people would like to read the distributed books about the four pillars in a bid to have better comprehension about the pillars and be able to memorize them. This news comes to you over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Various tour packages which were offered by the Indonesian Stand at Tourism Promotion of the Indonesian Archipelago, held from February 1st to 3rd in Riga, Latvia, successfully attracted Latvian people to choose Indonesia as their holiday destinations. Based on the report of the Indonesian Embassy in Stockholm, quoted by Radio Republik Indonesia in Jakarta on Sunday, the high income and long holiday duration encourage Latvian tourists to travel to distant countries, including Indonesia. This can be seen from the development of Latvian tourists who visit Indonesia within the past 3 years. Honorary Consul of Indonesia to Latvia, Valdis Tilgalis, remarked that in anticipating the increase of foreign tourists, Indonesia needs to conduct more promotion, such as participating in travel market, holding business forum among Indonesian and Latvian tourism businessmen, holding farm trip, and establishing cooperation with airlines. The Center for Volcanology and Geological Hazard Mitigation at the Geological Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources informed about the latest condition of the Mount Anak Krakatau, or Child of Krakatoa, in the Sunda Strait, South Lampung Regency, Lampung Province, from Sunday, February 3rd, to Monday morning. According to the Center for Volcanology and Geological Hazard Mitigation, the volcanic activities of Mount Anak Krakatoa triggered deep earthquake. Based on the information, Mount Krakatoa status is currently level 3, meaning emergency. Therefore, local people and tourists are advised not to approach within 5 kilometers from the crater. The Indonesian Public Works and Housing Ministry is managing the National Tourism Strategic Zone in Mandalika, Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara Province. The government aims to establish integrated infrastructures development in each tourism economic zone, such as road construction, sanitary, and development of locals' residents through the master plan arranged by the Regional Infrastructure Development Agency, BPIW. Based on the statement of the Indonesian Minister of Public Works and Housing, Basuki Hadi Mulyono, as quoted by Ancara News Agency on Sunday, one of the plans is to develop the tourism zone of Kuta, Gerupuk, and Sengkol villages in Mandalika, Seri Lombok, as one of the tourism destinations. Kuta village is an enchanting tourism village offering rich cultural heritage and incredible spots for leisure activities such as snorkeling and surfing on Mandalika Beach. And the last item, the number of foreign tourists entering Indonesia from the Sisingamangaraja Airport, the 12th in North Tapanuli Regency in North Sumatra, rose 203.18% in 2018 compared to 2017. More than 2,000 foreign tourists visited Indonesia from the airport in 2018. As quoted by Antara News Agency, head of North Sumatra Central Statistic Agency, Sheikh Suhaimi in Medan on Sunday said that from only 755 foreign tourists visiting Indonesia from the Sisingamaraja 12 airport from January to December 2017. The huge number of tourists coming to North Sumatra from the airport also shows the improvement of tourists to Toba Lake. And listeners, that's the news.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. For today's topic is increasing the national economy in the industrial age 4.0. The Minister of Industry is focusing on improving the performance of export-oriented projects in industries to improve the structure of the current national economy. So far, manufactured products have contributed the most to develop national exports, which amounted to 74%. In addition, the manufacturing industry also contributes to the gross domestic product GDP of 20% and taxation of around 30%. The Indonesian government, through the Minister of Industry, is committed to revitalizing the manufacturing industry through the implementation of the Make in Indonesia 4.0 roadmap to be ready to enter the fourth generation industrial era, or the 4.0 industrial revolution era. There are five main sectors in the Make in Indonesia 4.0 roadmap, namely the food and beverage industry, textiles and clothing, automotive, electronics, and chemistry. These five manufacturing groups contribute 65% of the total value of national exports. The Minister of Industry noticing that exports from the non-oil and gas processing industry have continued to increase over the past 4 years. Through the Make in Indonesia 4.0 roadmap, the Minister of Industry also seek to re-implement a number of strategic steps in increasing the competitiveness and quality of national industry, such as through industrial labor competency certificates and human resource development. In addition, the Minister of Industry also seeks to develop regional and industrial centers. In the last 3 years, the Minister of Industry has succeeded in developing 13 new industrial estates in and outside of Java. Improving the performance of manufacturing industry is the right step to increase the national economy. Moreover, the world is facing an industrial era 4.0 in which there will be very tight competition. The government efforts to improve the national economy through various measures also require support from the private sector and the community. Hopefully, the steps taken by the government can improve the national economy and increase Indonesian competitiveness in an increasingly competitive global environment. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. See now regular program today in history. Well, it starts from event on February 4, 1948, on which Sri Lanka got its independence. In 1948, Britain gave Sulpuri constituent to Sri Lanka that was arranged by Lord Sulpuri. The British goal was to give a guarantee of constitution to Sri Lanka. But Sulpuri constitution was rejected by Sri Lankan people that demanded full domination status from Britain. In 1945, Britain was forced to budge and to give domination status and agreed by Sri Lanka people. Afterwards, the temporary government was established as transitional government. Finally, on February 4, 1948, Sri Lanka gained its independence with dominion status in a Commonwealth environment. The next event is that in 1976, earthquake struck Guatemala. On February 4, 1976, earthquake with a magnitude 7.5 Richter scale killed almost 23,000 people, injured 76,000 people, and made more than 1 million people homeless in Guatemala. After the earthquake, some regions were without electricity and communication for days. The earthquake was followed by thousands of aftershocks. Some larger earthquakes caused additional damage and casualties. The epicenter is located near Los Ametz. And the last event is about World Cancer Day. World Cancer Day is commemorated every February 4th to enhance awareness on cancer and to encourage cancer prevention, detection, and treatment. The World Cancer Day was established by Union for International Cancer Control to support declaration of the World Cancer that was made in 2008. The main goal of the day is to decrease pain and death number significantly due to cancer in 2020. The World Cancer Day targets around information to improve awareness and to decrease stigma. Various initiatives that were run on the day show support to people who suffer cancer. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Sahi, hatiku, oh, Sahi, melihatmu dengannya. Malam terakhir, benar-benar terakhir. Harapan tinggi jatuh, menguap tak berbentuk. Nyata bukan pertanda. Pikiranku saja harap. harapan itu semu. Sulit untuk ku percaya sampai akhirnya ku lihat sendiri sakit hatiku, oh, sakit melihatmu dengannya. Tinggal melupakanmu saja, janji diri sendiri. Terakhir malam ini.
Of Indonesia.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our good program, My Indonesia. For today's topic is BNPB consolidates national potential to deal with disasters. The National Disaster Mitigation Agency BNPB held a national coordinating meeting at the East Java Expo 2019 in Surabaya, East Java on Saturday. More than 4,000 participants from the BPD Regional Disaster Mitigation Agency throughout Indonesia and representatives from the ministries, institutions, governors, regions or mayors, TNI Polri academics and others attended the expo. Accompanied by head of the BNPB, Doni Monardo, the Indonesian President Joko Widodo opened the National Coordinator meeting. In his remarks, the President stated that this forum was very strategic in coordinating the consolidating strength that Indonesia has in anticipating disasters. On this occasion, President Joko Widodo delivered 6 points of his direction. First, spatial planning, design, construction must pay attention to disaster-prone maps. By looking at the recurring cycle of disaster, it can be seen that disaster locations are often in the same place. For example, in NTB, the area hit by the earthquake in 2018 turned out to have also experienced the same occurrence in 1978. The earthquake in Palu, Central Sulawesi also happened before. Second, the involvement of academics, disaster experts and researchers must also participate to examine which point is very prone to disasters. This must be done massively. Third, if there is disaster, the local governor will automatically become the commander of the emergency task force along with the regional military commander and the regional police chief to become the deputy commanders of the task force. Fourth, an integrated early warning system based on recommendation from experts must be used, including in regional level. Learning from Japan, people did not panic when the earthquake happened. They just ran when there was a siren and knew the evacuation route. Fifth point is disaster education. This program must begin this year in disaster-prone areas for schools through teachers and religious leaders. Therefore, a warning port and evacuation routes are needed. Sixth point is to carry out simulations and disaster handling exercises regularly to remind communities continuously down to the neighborhood level so that people are truly prepared to face disasters. Disasters might be earthquakes, tsunamis, floods, or landslides. Though admittedly, the most frequent disaster is earthquake. On the occasion, President Joko Widodo also took part in the dialogue with the participants. After that, he inspected the display of equipment for disaster mitigation. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
listeners, in today's Indonesian Wonder, we will introduce you Kolam Susuk in East Nusa Tenggara. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. East Nusa Tenggara province is an Indonesian province that has many natural tourism destinations such as Komodo Island and Kelimutu Lake. In addition, the province has also tourism destination namely Kolam Susuk, in English means Susuk Pond, which is located at Dua Laus Village, Kakuluk Mesak District in Belu Regency. The pond is natural large lake. Surrounding of its area, there are towering cliffs. The pond is formed naturally and has white soil, so that if the pond is exposed by sunlight, its water reflects white light like milk. It is a reason why this tourism object is called Kolam Susu, or in English means milk pond. This tourism object is surrounded by dense mangrove forest that causes a lot of mosquitoes around the place. That's why local people call the pond with the name Kolam Susuk, or in local language means mosquito's nest. Kolam Susuk is located around 17 kilometers from the north of Maluku City, the capital city of Belu. From Atambua, Kolam Susuk can be accessed around 20 minutes by car. Its twist line passes through valley and cliff, but do not have to worry because its road has been paved. Usually, this tourism object is flocked by a lot of visitors on weekends or national holidays. Facilities at the Kolam Susuk are quite good, such as clean water, restroom, lodging, and checkpoint. Surrounding tourism object also provides food and beverage stalls and kiosks sold by the local people. Until now, the local government still develops Kolam Susuk as tourism object and also utilizes it as center of milk fish and shrimp cultivation, so that Kolam Susuk can continue to be well maintained. That was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. Thanks for listening.
insan bertumbuh berpelukan penuh kasih gelora asmara.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Radio Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. A lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of the Let's Speak Indonesia in a cooperation of Radio Service Voice of Indonesia with the Language Development Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is butuh waktu berapa lama, or in English, how long does it take? Stay tuned. Next is a conversation about butuh waktu berapa lama, or in English, how long does it take? Tony is in a taxi going to the hotel. He wants to know how does it take from the airport to Mutiara Hotel.
Berapa jam dari sini ke Hotel Mutiara?
Sekitar 30 menit.
Oh, kalau dari Malioboro ke Candi Prambanan, berapa lama?
Kalau tidak macet, sekitar 40 menit. Kalau macet, sekitar 1 jam.
After the conversation, now I will introduce some vocabularies and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice, and you can follow after me. Jam. Jam. In English, hour. Hour. Berapa jam? Berapa jam? How many hours? How many hours? Berapa jam dari sini ke Hotel Mutiara? Berapa jam dari sini ke Hotel Mutiara? In English, how many hours from here to Mutiara Hotel? How many hours from here to Mutiara Hotels? Berapa lama dari sini ke Hotel Mutiara? Berapa lama dari sini ke Hotel Mutiara? In English, how long does it take from here to Mutiara Hotel? How long does it take from here to Mutiara Hotel? Menit. Menit. In English, minute. Minute. 30 menit. 30 menit. In English, 30 minutes. 30 minutes. Sekitar 30 menit. Sekitar 30 menit. In English, about 30 minutes. About 30 minutes. Macet. Macet. In English, jammed. Jam. Kalau tidak macet, hanya sekitar 40 menit. Kalau tidak macet, hanya sekitar 40 menit. In English, only 40 minutes if it is not jammed. Only 40 minutes if it is not jammed. Kalau macet sekitar 1 jam. Kalau macet sekitar 1 jam. In English, 1 hour if it is jammed. 1 hour if it is jammed. 1 jam. 1 jam. In English, 1 hour. 1 hour. The time unit in Indonesian language are jam, or hours, minute, menit, minutes, and detik, seconds. To ask about duration, you can use question mark, berapa lama, or how long. For examples, berapa jam dari sini ke Hotel Mutiara? How many hours from here to Mutiara Hotel? Berapa lama dari sini ke Hotel Mutiara? How long does it take from here to Mutiara Hotel? Berapa jam dari Malioboro ke Candi Prambanan? How many hours from Malioboro to Prambanan Temples? Berapa lama dari Malioboro ke Candi Prambanan? How does it take from Malioboro to Prambanan Temple? In oral or daily language, question mark, berapa, or how much, siapa, or who, di mana, and kemana, or where, can be placed at the beginning or at the end of the sentence. To ask about the time, the question mark usually following the word jam, menit, detik, or lama. For example, dari hotel ke bandara berapa jam? Or, berapa jam dari hotel ke bandara? In English, how many hours from hotel to the airport? Dari hotel ke bandara berapa menit? Or, berapa menit dari hotel ke bandara? To answer the questions, you can specify the time needed, such as 30 menit or 30 minutes, 40 menit or 40 minutes, or 1 jam, 1 hour. But if you are not sure, you can add with word sekitar, kira-kira, or lebih kurang, or in English, about. For example, Pak, berapa jam dari sini ke Hotel Mutiara? How many hours from here to Mutiara Hotel? Sekitar 30 menit. It's about 30 minutes. Berapa jam dari Jakarta ke Yogyakarta? How many hours from Jakarta to Yogyakarta? Lebih kurang sejam. It's about 1 hour. Before we end today's Let's Speak Indonesian, for more detail, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Berapa jam dari sini ke Hotel Mutiara?
Sekitar 30 menit.
Oh, kalau dari Malioboro ke Candi Prambanan, berapa lama?
Kalau tidak macet, sekitar 40 menit. Kalau macet, sekitar 1 jam.
That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow or next week with the other interesting topic. Sampai jumpa.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners, Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Music Corner. In today's edition, we present a Keroncong song titled Tersenyum. The song was firstly covered by Indonesian migrant musicians who tell about their homesickness to their homeland. Although they live happiness in other places, they feel more peaceful in their hometown. The song Tersenyum is an original Keroncong song that is still pleasant to listen, especially by Keroncong music lovers. Well, listeners, now we dedicated the song Tersenyum to you by Wiwi Triyono.
Voice of Indonesia.